This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bon for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, Mark House Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company. The Foundation. Beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company today. Always happy to be in the land of the living. My God, we live in. Praise God, we're here. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to be able to say to you, thank you so much for being able to tune in with us today. I got to give a shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. You know that. Check them out. They got everything laid out for you. If you get your, you know, plethora of campaign promises, your taxi plates, your jitney plates, your SD plates, whatever you got, make sure you be able to go down there. They give you in-house financing to make that thing work, where you get your vehicles that comes down or whatever the case may be. You can get that thing taken care of. In-house, check them out, AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers, number 407 Blue Hill Road South, actually my good friend Etheric Bowe, 9 to 5 throughout the week, 9 to 2 on Saturday. Guys, everything's laid out for you. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper, look in the paper today and see exactly what's what. Davis pledges huge impact for cannabis. We're going to talk a little taste about this today. Talk about all these things, and even at the very bottom of the paper, Mitchell says, don't thrash the police. Don't trash the police. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. I think there was a, sort of an itch that no one could put their hand on for a long time, trying to be able to identify a culprit. I think that's kind of the thing that we deal with in this country. Is it so? Is it accurate? I think a lot of persons, we've identified corruption, perceived corruption. There's sort of an idea that something is... something a little bit off. And we've been looking for a very long time to put a face to the perceived waste. I'd like to have a conversation with former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis. I would. More specifically on this particular matter. He went over to Paris and said it causes the Bahamas almost $500 million a year in corruption. These particular things, these crimes, these allegations that he's brought. I don't know how he get a number on that. And then I see these things, it makes me wonder, well, where is money going? Where is money going? We ask ourselves these questions. Is there not an internal probing division within the uniform arm to see how these people are spending their money? Is it that difficult? Is it that difficult? I just want, it just for me, just right now, just go with me. Is it that difficult? Can you really afford a $350,000 piece of property? We know your salary. Everyone here knows your salary. Not one person say nothing. Can you really afford to live in the areas that you live in? Oh, okay, your kids went off to college. Man, congratulations, man. They got a scholarship. Oh, no, I have to pay for them. You paying for your baby to go off to college and she living on the dorms? Where did you get this money from? Nobody putting nothing together. Everybody leaving you alone. Child, that ain't my business. I just stay out of it. And the country is ran into the ground. We've been looking for a culprit to put corruption on for a long time. And I think a lot of persons in our community seek to do that with the allegations levied against Michael Johnson. And as a result of that, now you won't put everything on him. But it can't be. Because far before he existed, we've had tribulation. We have trials. We had problems. We had speculation. Something was off. We smell a rat long time. Far before any allegations was levied against this man or anyone else. We smell a rat long time. There have been conversations for a long time that speak to us about, well, I'm from 8 Mile Rock, so I can tell you a little bit of 8 Mile Rock business. Okay, so we have two roads in 8 Mile Rock, right? The main Queens Highway that goes all the way to West End, and then we call the back road, which is really the front road, it's the road closest to the South Sea, right? What we call the Bay. And on Sundays, I won't call these people names, but on Sundays, there is sort of a running joke in 8 Mile Rock for a long time that says, such and such a police officer is holding a blockade. Such and such a police officer is, watch out now, when you're getting down Holmes Rock and you turn that curb right there, such and such a police is holding a traffic stop. Doing a traffic stop there? Yes. And he's not charging you or giving you a ticket. He's saying to you, if you don't want this ticket, you got to pay. I've known many persons. There are police officers in Grand Bahama who, based upon stories, will say to you, well, people will say things like, well, this one come in my house at 3 o'clock in the morning for 2 bench warrants or whatever the case may be. Now, we know that you're right within your rights to do these particular things, but there must be a system that's better than this. Because no one knows how you're dealing with people. I'm telling you, there has been, the police has been the boogeyman for a long time. And I hear what Fred Mitchell's saying, and I agree with him. I think that this is our responsibility. I think we as a nation, we must find ourselves in a better position to kind of deal with what we're dealing with and approach this accordingly. But we already speculate. We already feel as though there are some people who didn't come here with the greatest intent, with the transparency, with the commitment to service. There is no integrity associated with this. There's no uplifting. There's no morality within the confines of your occupation. You. And so when I hear Fred Mitchell today, guys, like, make sure you pick up a Guardian newspaper. The information's in the paper. When I hear Fred Mitchell be able to say these things, Minister of Foreign Affairs, let me see if I can read this thing. Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, yesterday warned against trashing the Royal Bahamas Police Force and amid allegations of corruption and recently rocked the organization. He says, our position is that the integrity of the Royal Bahamas Police Force must be protected. That we cannot trash the Royal Bahamas Police Force and that they understand the seriousness of this matter and that they will do, there'll be a thorough investigation that will, that where there's expertise needed, the expertise will be called upon, and that is our position. Now, you know what? One thing I like about Fred Mitchell, he never backs back on his position. He's take a very strong position, and he says, I said what I said, and I mean that, right? And while you read this story and recognize that we're going to be able to utilize the expertise from wherever, he's still not backing back from whether or not the Prime Minister has indicated one thing, the Chief of Police has indicated one thing, or the Free National Movement has indicated another thing. He's not saying that we need any assistance externally. But in the event that we find ourselves against a roadblock and we need external assistance or the expertise in these strategic areas, then we will be able to utilize that. We'll call upon them, and that's that. We're going to be thorough. We're going to be able to retain the integrity of this organization because Taylor Casey's family is not doing well from an international standpoint to be able to talk about the Bahamas. I just watched some clip from a cartoon, some weird cartoon I don't watch. I've never seen this before, right? Going on a boat and say, well, I lost 3 husbands and the Bahamian police hasn't checked yet. The Bahamian police doesn't care. It's sort of a running joke now that the Bahamian police is not concerned about these things. So we're sort of in catch 22. We're in a catch 22. In the event that we identify international spaces, then you solidify those stories that says that the Bahamian police are inadequate, incapable, they have no knowledge. So in the event that you go externally to identify these things at this juncture, then those stories become true. But if you stay steadfast in these things with your blinders on, then what does it say about our nation? We're going to talk like this. I want to be able to talk to you guys about these things. I want to get deep into cannabis also and really talk about the legislation, talk about the conviction of the nation, try to figure out whether or not our leadership is seeking to kind of move with the times as opposed to being able to take on a strong position. We know that legislation, the concept and idea has come forward from private entities, private individuals and organizations that says that this is something that should be done over 5 to 7 years ago. This has been really, really a push for the government. But now we've seen that the New Day administration, as they say in their commitment to the Blueprint for Change, this is something that they're going to do. I want to talk about this, guys. I want you guys to be a part of the conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back after this.
Foundation. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, the foundation live and full effect on this beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company. Happy birthday to my brother. He's 4 years younger than I am. He is 39 years old today. Stefan Grant, you guys know him. He's an artist out there. That is my younger brother. He's been around with me for a little while, maybe 39 years now, right? I'm hoping that he continues to be able to do well, has a beautiful birthday, enjoys himself. He and his wife, his beautiful wife, Brooke. You guys probably know them out there. And hoping that he enjoys himself. Have a good evening, my brother. Happy birthday to you. I love you very much. I pray that the Father continues to be able to bless you, watch over you, and keeps you as you move forward, upward, onward, together with your family towards the place that the Father has called you. It's a beautiful day. Guys, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the Family of Violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Now, we're talking today. I just wanted to kind of be decent with you today. It's difficult, though. It's difficult to have a transparent conversation about what exists in our society and has existed in our society and without being able to offend a great deal of people. It's difficult to be able to talk about and not necessarily thrash the police, but tell you about the instances, stories, ideas, and sort of the folklore that's associated with the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And how this integrity and the perceived integrity from a social standpoint has depleted over the years within the confines of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I just want to be decent with you. I don't want to identify any individuals. This is a social, sort of a social story, right? A social narrative that's been placed on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, that socially a great deal of persons are significantly tolerant for them, understanding their usage, but not necessarily trustworthy, simply because of the how they've been bombarded by one story after another about what the Royal Bahamas Police Force indicates. These same stories exist for the Bahamas Customs Department, Bahamas Immigration Department, and all the subsectors of government that has anything to do with enforcement and the uniformed branches in this country. There are horrible stories about you. There are absolutely atrocious stories that speak to the lack of integrity that exists in your organization, that exists within the confines of government. Not you as an individual. Not you as, maybe a unit, not fresh squaddies, not all these particular things, but even those persons just getting into it, they would have heard these stories also. I can't deal with things like that. I have to be able to stand up. The other day we had a very good conversation, and in diving into that kind of a conversation, we talked about the integrity or the perceived integrity or lack thereof that exists within the body of the executive branch in more ways than one of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And we get a call. Pop a call out of nowhere and was able to tell us about Warren Johnson, right? And now I know Warren personally. I know him. I know him personally. I've reached out to him to kind of do some stuff with me before and talked to him about a few things. And he's been, heavy on the drones. I know him personally. I know him. He's always been. And also I know Mario, right? I know these people. I got to call everybody name who I know, but I know these people, right? And then finding these persons and listening to these particular things, we find ourselves in this kind of a position, right? That Papa sought to, out of everyone name he could call, he spoke about Warren. And that's heavy. That's a heavy thing. That's a heavy thing that in the midst of an embattled force, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of significant speculation, in the midst of it all, that there are people that can be able to speak to the character of your commitment, to the character that you possess, and your commitment to not only your faith, your position, your family, but to your job, your occupation. That is a heavy thing. That's what I want. I don't care what nastiness going on around me. You can mix me up in that. Now, but that's how we have to carry ourselves. And there aren't people that carry themselves like that. Well, this is what it is. There aren't people that seek to be able to go above and beyond because no one in their mind is getting compensated for that. But look at the compensation. Look at the social compensation of persons being able to speak about you in such high regard. In the midst of them trashing everybody else, they swim through that and say, no, well, not him. Him, he's a decent one. He's a good and decent man. Now, there may be others. And there may be a great deal who just living up to the mark of occupation. But there are some that goes above and beyond and present themselves accordingly. That's what you're called to do. That you do this work with a very clear understanding that you're not doing this as unto man. You're not doing this to satisfy your superiors. You're not doing this merely just to be able to show a good face socially that people don't trash you. You're doing this as you're doing it unto a divine God. Talk to me. I just want to be decent. I just want to be decent. There's a great deal of people out here just working just for the purposes of picking up a check, but have no desire to be able to really commit themselves to work. Now, I ain't tired. I this, I that. Listen, man, this is a labor of love, we know. We know that the government don't pay y'all nothing, we know. But this is the life you chose. This is the life you chose. You chose this. You could have done anything and been anywhere. You could have studied even in the midst of working for the Royal Bahamas Police Force or for the uniform branch of the government. You could go off, study, get yourself prepared, and go someplace else. In fact, the government will assist you in that particular, but you chose to be here. Any allegations of corruption, it comes against you, and it's found out that you're corrupt, the long arm of the law should find you and wrap its arms around you significantly. Yeah, because you chose this. You know you was a thief if you was a thief. Why are you trying to go work in the counting cage at the hotel? You was a thief. Why are you trying to work in there? You freak out when you see $1,500. My God, you got thousands of dollars around you. You trying to figure out a way every day to be able to put some glue on your shoes and walk out with $100 on every day. That's what you're trying to figure out. Because you are a natural born thief. I just want to be decent with you. We got to fix this in our society. We have to fix this. And whilst Fred Mitchell in this particular capacity is chairman of the organization and also minister within foreign affairs, being able to take on a very strong position and good representation, giving good representation for the country, speaking to the sovereignty of the country, he has to be honest with himself. He has to be honest with himself. He has to be honest with the fact that there is a significant social indifference that exists in our society. He has to be honest with himself and recognize that reform is required. We need reform. We need transformation. I want to be able to read a few things for you, just a little bit. I wanted to kind of do a little bit of research, and I said, I talked about a commission of inquiry, a commission, and then I just kind of researched it and kind of looked it up, right? And so it says, the commission of inquiry within the Westminster system, including the Bahamas, is a formal and often public investigation into specific matters of significant public concern. That's it. It is a formal and often public investigation into specific matters of significant public concern. Significant public concern. Do we have a significant public concern as it relates to the allegations of corruption at the Royal Bahamas Police Force at the head of the organization? Yes. And then it goes on, it says, it is established by the government to investigate and report on events or issues that have caused widespread public disquiet, that has caused widespread public disquiet or controversy. The key characteristics of a commission of inquiry include legal basis and authority, terms of reference, power of investigation, public and transparent proceedings, impartiality and independence, outcome and recommendations. All this information's in there. Then it goes on to say that in the context of the Bahamas, if the allegations arise against any significant member of the executive, more specifically, and governmental members regarding bribery, including a substantial sum of money, a commission of inquiry would be to, one, investigate the allegations, examine the conduct, and report findings, recommend the actions, suggest reform, prosecution, and other measures to address the findings and prevent future occurrences. It's very difficult. With clarity and understanding, with expertise, with years that you've spent in the capacity that you are, it's very difficult to identify you saying that we don't need a commission of inquiry. That's difficult for me to understand. It's difficult. If this is solely a fact-finding mission and we need to identify whether or not this is a cell, whether or not this is a lone gunman, a lone rider, whether or not this is a small grouping, whether or not these are officers that went AWOL in some sense, we need to find this out and attach themselves to other persons. Is there a fear that this will climb up significantly within specific administrations from a political standpoint? You can't say on one end, let the chips fall where it may. And then you say, hold on, wait, let's prop that chip up right there. No. Lean that chip against the wall. Don't let that one fall. Let's hide these chips so they don't even stack it in there. What are you saying? Where are we as a people? I just want to be decent with you. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Also, yesterday started the, I can read a little taste of this for you. Yesterday started the Davao bills do encourage recreational cannabis use. Do not encourage recreational cannabis use. Let's be able to read this. So it says, as he opened the debate on the compendium of bills to legalize cannabis for medical and religious purposes yesterday, Minister of Health and Wellness Michael Davao, Dr. Michael Davao, emphasized that the intention is not to encourage recreational use of marijuana. Mr. Deputy Speaker, with the passing of this legislation, we know that some people envision a society where medical cannabis is easily accessible and people are outside smoking a joint all over the street and using cannabis products freely. This is what Davao said. This is a misconception, and the legalization addresses this grave concern. Let me reiterate, this legislation is not about recreational use of cannabis. This legislation is aimed to provide the legal framework for patients who can benefit from medical cannabis or use cannabis for their religious practices, whilst maintaining, this is very peculiar, whilst maintaining the penalties of those who act outside by the parameters of the act and the law. And I want to find out more information about it. Guys, I want you to be able to join in the conversation with me today. I want to find out more about this. I'd like to know more about it. I'd like to know what does the government expect? I'd like to know that. In all honesty, what does the government expect? First and foremost, how do you make a determination as to whether or not this is someone's religion? That's one. Secondly, beyond medical examination and the identification of how to be able to identify these things, there are people that go to the doctor right now with two coughs. They say, and get a sick slip. There are strategic places. I just want to be decent. I'm not going to call these people names. But there are strategic places that you can go and sit down with doctors who are down with it and provide you a sick slip to be able to access things. If these doctors could then, their Hippocratic oath to ensure that people could be accommodated for a beach day, if they're being paid significantly to ensure that people could be accommodated, a cloud nine vacation every so often, won't they do that? How do we now identify? If you're going to open up the door, it doesn't make sense to be able to keep the door cracked. People can slip in. Everyone's going to slip in as long as this door is available. They're slipping in the United States of America. That's one. I want to find out more information about this sort of a position of ownership. I want to find out more information as a position of ownership in this country. To be able to keep now, you could call now. You could call now if you wish, right? Somebody text me. If you want to call now, give me a call, please. 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Or you could be able to hit me up on the text line, 422-4796. Now, the Prime Minister has taken on a very strong position. The Davids pledges that a huge impact for cannabis. He's gone into this kind of a conversation to talk about the impact of legalized cannabis industry will be widespread. The Prime Minister, Brave Davis, said yesterday that adding that the administration is opening the door for the creation of thousands of jobs in agriculture, manufacturing, retail, and dispensary facilities, and healthcare. I do not believe this. I don't. It sounds good. It's a pretty thing to say. But the framework was not created for the empowerment of locals. The frame was created to be able to access these things, but the framework was not created for the empowerment of local Bahamians. Local Bahamians have been taking on this for a significant time. The Rastafarian community, the Rastafari community, all these particular persons has continued to agitate for an opportunity to be able to have a stake in the game. The government has genuflected and provided an opportunity through the legislation for medicinal use and for religious use, and they've rejected this idea of social recreational use of medicinal cannabis, but they have not created the framework for significant empowerment in entrepreneurialism. You are joking. It's a joke. It's a joke. If the government could be able to tout significantly about the advantages and opportunities that exist in this particular space, well, put some money aside. Put some significant money aside. Let persons access that particular finance for the development of their, give them, identify crown land for them to be able to harvest their stuff, to be able to develop it, identify finances so they could be able to market it, to do this, to do that, identify a division that you could be able to ensure, that you could ensure that the consistency, the strain, that this and that, the strength is consistent when you're being able to export those particular things. Identify these things. Other than that, everything is a casual conversation just to be able to kind of hoot and holler and drop the confetti that the New Day administration has done what they said they would do. But it doesn't carry significant weight. I just want to be decent as I say this. I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about whether or not you're considering from a casual approach that this is what should be done, as opposed to understanding that there is something significant here. The governor of the Bahamas, successive governments, the last administration had an opportunity to be able to make this thing happen. They kicked that can down the road until they find themselves out of office. Now, the former prime minister has taken on this kind of position to say that legalized recreational cannabis use. Agitating. Forget the formality. Forget the money. Let's legalize recreational cannabis use. I believe that I'm not going to fight him on that. But when he had the opportunity, he didn't do that. He didn't do any of that. So what are we talking about here? All this is just politics. It's a game. And Bahamian people are looking for another opportunity to empower themselves. They're looking for another industry to be able to grab hold of. There's too many of us. They have stacked the deck against us. Let's just talk, man. Let's be real with this. It's stacked against us. And you know, the reason why, last night I had a conversation, if you actually had an opportunity to be able to watch me, the one thing that is consistent in the country is that we are in a holding pattern. That's what I said. We talked about it last night. That's where we are. The only persons who have us in this holding pattern is the traditional pilots. And I don't want to call them quote-unquote old. That's not what I want. I want to say traditional because it's a mindset. The traditional pilots keep us in a holding pattern until they could be informed, until they could identify their horses in the race, until they could find a space at the table, this new, modern technology, technologically advanced table that they're unfamiliar with. They need to put everything on hold until they could understand how to get to this table. My God, you didn't eat from every other industry in the country. Now you want to eat this one too. It's too much. Young people can't get nothing. Nothing. You want this too? I'm not going to fight you. Telephone call on the line. Go ahead.
Hello, Howard.
Hey, what's happening?
Good afternoon to you. Howard, if you give me a moment here, I know you got time to go. I met an old chronic caller and AID on the weekend. And the chronic caller, we go back before talk shows really started on ZNS with Spice and Formerton them, way back before the radio stations was open. They used to call us chronic caller. Now we can't call in the radio station. They don't need us no more. But I can say this like this. The person asked me, say, Sparky, I hear you still calling once in a while. I say, yeah, if there's a topic of interest and I want to voice my opinion, I'll call in, but it don't mean the same to me no more because they just talk and talk, nothing really is done. He says, Sparky, let me say something to you. Have you noticed that we've watched talk show hosts come and go, move on to other heights and whatever, live better lives, But when they came on as talk shows, in the beginning they was begging people to call them and get familiar. Until they become popular, then they start hanging up on the callers. Mm-hmm. He said, that's why I don't call no more. I said, why you don't call? You still got your Bahamas and Commonwealth to be in love with and take care of. Mm-hmm. Hello, you still there, Albert?
I radio.
I said, but we still got our country to take care of. So although we've been there from corner callers and way back, although the talk show hosts insult us and tell us don't call their show no more, we still got to fight for our country, our children, and our grandchildren, and the future of Bahamians. But the problem is, although a person like me might still call in and fight, we just talk and talk and talk. Talk show hosts get popular. They get paid to do it. The show get paid from the sponsors. All of y'all on that end getting paid. The callers that call in, they make the show alive, but they don't get one dime. Plus, if they texting in, they got to pay BTC and Alive for their taxes. So nothing is free from the chronic callers and those that call in, but all you all get paid and then insult us. But I say that to say this. This is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and we talk about we want land to do farming. We can't afford to buy the land in our own country. But foreigners can come here and live free on our land, farm on our land, build hotels on our beaches, live better than us in Bahamians in our own country. Then when they give us some land to try and do a farm, we have no assistance from the bank to get the money to start the farm, to grow the stuff, or to even clean the farm down because we can't afford a tractor. The only thing we might be able to buy in our country is a second-hand $4,000 Japanese reused car with only about to last you for 2 years. So how could we as Bahamians move forward in our country when we keep electing our own boys and girls who went to school with us, would grow up with us, would go to church with us, and as soon as they get down Bay Street, they the first people that backstab us and keep us poor. While them and the foreigners get rich, we the Bahamians get poor and can't afford to buy corned beef and white rice. We got to stand on lines on Wolf Road to Great Commissioner Ministries and beg for corned beef and white rice because we can't afford to do it in our own country. Have a good day. We should be ashamed.
Thank you, man Sparky. I do appreciate your telephone call. I don't know what the first piece was about. I'm not going to fight you. I don't know who you was throwing rock at, right? So, I don't know who you was throwing rock at, Sparky. I'm not going to fight you. I can leave it just like that, all right? But I agree with you, and I agree with your sentiment, and I agree with all these particular things. And, you know, I will say this. I think we have, there are significant relationships in this country, all right? Y'all who in fraternity, y'all who in lodge, y'all who are fraternity members who've gone off to school with these men who are in leadership positions in our country, y'all who got good proximity to them, y'all who continue to be able to tout to say that this one has gone off to school with me and that one, I went to high school with them and I remember them and so forth and so on. Y'all who will pick up a nice Guinness stout and sit down one day or drink red wine with these men and sit down there and talk garbage with them. You sit down and talk, but who got, oh my God, you see that one there? Jesus Christ. That's what you'd say. That's the conversation you're having with these men. When you got to say that your integrity is online. When you got to say that we have a greater expectation of you. When you got to say, I remember when we was young and this is what the expectations of us was. No. We elevate and find ourselves in a position to talk garbage. Man, come on, man, talk to me. Yes, we don't have no position in this country. We don't own nothing. The same cars that would be for $8,000 landed. You could find it right here on island for $52,000. But you try to bring that in, the conglomerate will say, no, 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 no. You got to take into consideration how these things are coming in. You can't do that. We have industries. We have people to hire. We got this. We got that. We got all these things. No consideration for the black Negro, the poor man. But y'all want to talk garbage to the men who have the authority to be able to at a swipe of a pen. But you cuss me out and say what I ain't saying. But your age and proximity and relationship says you could say right to them. But that ain't going nowhere. I just want to be decent with you, man. I want to be decent as we talk like this. Now, I don't know if you want to dive into that, but if you want to change something, we have to always be conscious, sober-minded, and ever after our goal. Ever after our goal. That got to be heavy, heavy on our spirit and at the tip of our tongue every time we see one of these men. Let's bombard them with it. Let's call them. Let's encourage people to move with formality. Hey, make sure you write a letter. Make sure you write a letter. Nothing. Nothing. This ain't about begging for me as an individual or begging for you as an individual. The collective of us don't have nothing to call our own. There's something I listened to the other day that says the next generation inherits nothing. That hurt me, man. To think that we only exist to meander, to nothingness, to death. That the values that we hold steadfast to and believed in, that we could own something before, is useless. Let me take a next telephone call before I go to break. Call on the line, go ahead.
Yeah, Howard.
What you say?
What's popping? Yeah, you know, Sparky, I like what Sparky's saying because I could feel it, and every person, we should be able to feel it, but I guess he was inspired by what you were saying in your initial monologue, but I would really prefer if the media don't even talk about corruption, because at 60 in the next couple of weeks, 2 weeks or a couple of days, right? And living and seeing nothing ever being done, there's no accountability from nobody. Like I said, I mentioned a few. And so there was a lady who had written an article, I think I saw it somewhere, in which her husband is some big time police, and she was talking about what she had suffered as a result of their separation. And I think it was something to do with shooting at her and car and all kind of legalities and whatever. I don't want to call them a name, but nothing is being done. I just like the continuous lack of response from the hierarchy and whatever, right? And so on. And then we saw Zaria Major, we saw the dubious shooting in Don Nordich, Cowpen Road, and most recently these voice notes, right? But nothing has ever been done. Given the fact that there's no statute of limitation on things like murder, we see where officers are being killed and nobody's investigated what happened to fallen officers. They don't seem to be of this relentless push to find out what happened to officers who had fallen. I remember one time an officer, I guess, was found through Gladstone Road with his face down. I don't know if it was around the time and Clark gone missing, but I'll just say that. So what I'm saying is it's frightening for even people to call and speak about these things when you live in such a society. I talk about Bradley Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
No one in the media since then gone and even find out. I said Bradley Taylor was turned over to the Bohemian Police, CID at the airport and never reached the CID station, but he ended up dead. But nobody, that's okay. So what I'm saying is, for me, almost 100, half dead and scared, right? These conversations are meaningless. I can understand, you know, of course I don't agree with Mr. Mitchell, but he and the politicians themselves have benefited from the politicalization of the force in which they can influence the outcome because cases are being thrown out in here and there. And he should know about it because everybody, I'm old enough to know, but some stories that everybody was mixed up in. So don't try to play like you haven't benefited from this favoritism within the police force. Everybody is. You understand what I'm saying? And so when you was talking about the roadblock and this one doing that, how long was people crying? See, what I'm saying is when people like me and other people, you know, Scoochie, everybody was talking about the situation on the police force corruption, not even just within the police force. That's like an immigration. You look in the newspaper today, you see a bunch of citizenship, people applying for citizenship being given out. The United States just issued a statement concerning the fire's activity at this particular entity. Nothing is being done. They're giving out citizenship like cookies, okay? And so what does that mean to me? I don't need to read the headlines. I read between the lines. Now forget about that one. Let's talk about marijuana, cannabis, right? what doctors have to realize, you can't learn everything in medical school. And I would prefer if people who smoke weed, eat weed, drink weed, go weed, come and talk about this weed. You know why? Because I remember having BPH and having a TURP, right? Mm-hmm. A resection of the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the painkillers that the doctor gave me were meaningless, ineffective, and everything. And I told him about it. And this was my first time, so I was still being in my late. I was maybe about 49, close to 50. Maybe they're about Howard. So I realized when I smoked a joint, I wouldn't have the urge to urinate so quickly. And the pain was less. So I associated with that, with the cannabis use, because it subverted my mind and made me even forget that I wanted to urinate. So then I get to realize, oh, cannabis, how powerful is cannabis? So I then asked my doctor if he want to co-author a book with me, Cannabis and BPH. All right? And so, given the fact that pharmacists and a lot of people have never smoked the weed, I don't think they should be masters of saying what it can do. We know it's used for glaucoma, it can be used for leukemia, all this can be used, you can go and find out what it could be used for. But what I'm saying is, I noticed that it stopped my frequent, and you know, after a TURP, Howard, if you want to feel some pain, that's the worst pain in the world. I don't know, they say stone and get different from toothache. When you pee after a TURP, because what they actually do is they scrape the inside of your urethra. And so it's actually raw. So you see your blood for a while, but the pain is excruciating. Your eyes open wide. And so you never really want to pee. And I realized cannabis helped with that. I don't need no one to tell me that. I know this. I experienced this. You can't say it's anecdotal.
So are you an advocate for the medicinal use, or do you believe that we should open the doors wide, even for the recreational and the other areas?
Well, I think recreational use, because in California, what they did was they had a referendum, and the people voted for that. So it's not like the government, the people voted for that, and then they overwhelmed the government and said, yeah, but the government sided with them.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? But as it relates to the endocannabinoid system in the human body, this is online for everybody to see. The body actually produces a natural cannabinoid similar to the THC. It's called Delta-9. All right? And this is also another cannabinoid that it produces called CB1 and CB2. So CB1 is normally found in connective tissues and all of that, gonads and all of that.
51 is 1 o'clock. 52 is 1 o'clock. I got to be able to take a commercial break. I don't know if you could call me back after.
Yeah, I'll call back, Howard.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Guys, quick commercial break. Get the news and be right back after this.
Try the rest. Roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Get ready to celebrate independence the BK way with our new Independence King Combos. Choose from our classic flame grilled beef version, or indulge in a crispy chicken breast topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, cheese, and our special tropical sauce. Both come with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation perfect for celebrating every year. Remember to top off your Independence King Combo with a delicious guava sundae or the new guava ice shaker, available only at Burger King Nassau.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation.
the foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect, just having conversations about the stories that are leading today and all these particular things. You can, if you pick up your papers, you can be able to see a David Pledges, Davis Pledges huge impact for cannabis as the Prime Minister actually ate that the new industry will create thousands of jobs. Darvall indicates that bills do not encourage recreational cannabis. And our former Prime Minister, Minnis, has taken on this sort of position to indicate that legalized recreational cannabis and being able to talk about those things. Now, y'all know for a very long time I've been able to sort of have good conversations about this and had direct access to expertise straight out of California to be able to talk about these things. I want to be able to introduce you again to none other than Elliot Marshall Hepburn, who's talking about these things, continue to be able to talk about these things. And I'd like to be able to hear his posture and position as to what we're seeing coming down the pipeline. Ladies and gentlemen, none other, like I said, Elliot Marshall Hepburn. Elliot, what's happening, my brother?
How you doing, Mado? Good afternoon to the nation.
I'm fine. Everything good. What's happening with you?
Good. Good. Paying attention to all the in Nassau right now, everything that's going on.
So talk to me about it. Over the past few days, we've been able to sort of hear the buzz. Even before that, there are persons being able to come out and really take on the position of what the government should do, shouldn't do. There has been this sort of a subtle agitation to be able to ensure that industry or individuals, organization, a conglomerate of people are empowered as opposed to being able to allow for the masses. I see the Prime Minister has come out today and being able to talk about the fact that this would afford, it'll open the doors and the creation of thousands of jobs in agriculture, manufacturing, retail, and dispensary facilities. And healthcare, this industry will make a significant contribution to our efforts to diversify our economy through those subsectors. Now, you have been working this thing on the land in the country for, was it 7 years now? How long has it been? About 7 years.
Long, right? Yeah, a long time.
So, a long time. You've been, when we started this off, right? When we started this kind of a concept and being able to reach out to those things, when we started talking to government officials under the former administrations, you started under the Christie administration. You started under the Christie administration. You went through the Minnis administration. Now we're here, right? So talk to me about this. You said from the inception, we're losing time. We have to put ourselves in a strategic position. We have to make sure that the world can identify us and identify what we're doing. We're losing time. Almost a decade later, now we're debating this sort of a thing to be able to legalize it and put it in this position. Give me your position on that. Talk to me about it.
I mean, long time coming. It should have happened under the Christie administration. It seemed like it was getting a lot of momentum under the Minnis administration. And here we are in the Davis administration, and it looks like they are potentially going to take it over the line. So, things don't happen too fast in our country. So, we have to, I expected it to take a while. Some of the momentum that we saw in the earlier years, I thought was a bit premature because I just didn't see or feel the desire or the initiative from government. But with this new administration, I've definitely seen them take a position and stand on it. And now here they are, having it in the House of Assembly debating, which is as far as it's ever been in our country's history.
I want to know from you now, one of the words that you use is over the line. I open in my blueprint for change. I have my own copy. Mm-hmm. This one be decent, right? In the blueprint for change, they start to be able to talk to it more specifically. I got to look for it. right? They start to be able to talk to, there's sort of an idea that takes us over the top, that makes sure that there's a significant empowerment and opportunity for all and sundry. Now, from what you're hearing, from this kind of a concept and this framework and approach that they're taking to be able to bring this to the front, does it have the quote-unquote meat that it takes to be able to see real ownership? Or is this sufficient for the beginning of this sort of a new idea in our country?
Well, I mean, you see I think it's Marvin Smith from the Pharmacy Association. He's taking quite a position that the pharmacist should be the dispensers of it. I've said it before, that's a reinvention of the wheel. I thought that this was an opportunity that should have been extended to all Bahamians. I didn't think it should have been granted and sent off to the pharmaceutical section as the cannabis industry, the medical cannabis industry, existed in defiance of the pharmaceutical industry. So I always thought it was misplaced what he was trying to do with that move there. So I think that the fact that the government has taken a position that they aren't going with the pharmaceuticals, the pharmaceutical dispensary or pharmacies being head of dispensaries, I think that is going to really open up the opportunity because, you know, that is the point of sale. That is where the most of the economics of this industry will be realized, right there at the register. And to leave Bahamians out of that, entrepreneurs, all of that, leave us all out of that would have been unfortunate. And I think the move that they've made is going to benefit a lot of Bahamians and make the industry that much more bigger, give us a bigger footprint and an opportunity for a bigger footprint.
What do you think Bahamians need to do now, Bahamian citizens who are in this kind of a position? Because there is a fear, whether pronounced or whether it exists right before it gets to your throat, there is a fear that says if we don't hurry up, do something to find true sense of ownership for ourselves, that this too will pass. This industry will pass. This opportunity will pass. And we won't have a real opportunity other than what you've been able to say for years, to just be on the service arm, the service end of this, being able to be the suppliers and not necessarily the owners, being able to be the laborers and not necessarily the owners. What needs to happen in terms of framework at the inception to ensure that whether it's from a legislative standpoint, whether it's from an application standpoint, to ensure that there is real ownership for Bahamian citizens, and Bahamian citizens understand this and take full advantage of it?
Well, I think none of it will be realized unless the individuals that desire, you know, to build in this industry, you know, they learn, they educate themselves, they become students of it. They should have already done those things. They should understand our industry at this point. I think that's going to be huge, the education component, but just the desire. I mean, it's a hard industry, and like you mentioned earlier, we are coming in late. But that shouldn't, you know, if government is going to allow for you to have ownership and give you the opportunity to ownership, that's for ownership. That's a level playing field that you have to have all your information. You have to be as educated as you can in this space to be able to execute a plan that will be profitable and productive for your company and your brand.
I just picked it up on
reading.
On page 23 of the Blueprint for Change, which is rescuing the economy, there is cannabis industry. Develop a comprehensive regulatory framework for growing, harvesting, and exporting the cannabis so that the industry creates opportunities for many, not just a few. Through Bahamas Invest, encourage joint ventures in the medical cannabis industry. Ensure that all Bahamians are given full access to development and have a fair opportunity to become owners in this new industry. Develop robust regulations to strictly monitor and minimize the impact on our social or international reputation. Through Bahamas Invest, encourage joint ventures in the medical industry. This is what they have on these particular things. Do you believe that this is the course that they've taken with the beginning of this sort of debate in the House of Assembly? Are they on par? Are they on point but their commitment was to ensure that they can be able to see this significantly empower Bahamian people.
Yeah, I mean, when you see them, they took a position of Bahamian ownership. I mean, that's huge. You know, you have.
But isn't it enough, though? Okay, let's say this. You and I often have this conversation. The government of the Bahamas provided or created an opportunity where they wanted to. They had the responsibility of creating entrepreneurs, and so they were given $23 million loan, and they were supposed to distribute this accordingly. The former government, under the Ingram administration, chopped that $23 million up into very fine pieces to kind of spread it out, to spread out the wealth. So they chopped the thing up very finely. And a lot of persons received some money that, you know, a great deal of money that they've never received before, $5,000. Some people buy the cameras, the equipment, the this, the that, all these things. But no one really saw the success of being able to see longevity in these particular spaces. Right? So I want to ask this question. If the government of the Bahamas is committed with the crown land that we have, with the access that we have, with the relationships that we have, with the finances, shouldn't you put your money where your mouth is? Not just being able to create legislation, right? Not just creating the framework for empowerment, but truly empowering people and ensuring that, okay, we want to be able to ensure that this industry grow. We want to entrust you with this, and we're going to be able to monitor these things. Do you think that these are some steps that should accompany what's happening?
That's a tough question. I think that the fact that for the last 50 years, we had no opportunities in the cannabis space at all, and now potentially we have opportunities to get into the industry in our country, I think that is a huge opportunity right there that they created. I don't know about how government should fund this idea or what opportunities should be available, but I feel like the entrepreneurs, the people that want to be in, they will figure out a way, and government should have, I guess, some type of mechanism of support, but how that really looks, I couldn't describe. It's a tough thing, and it's been a free market. This has been an industry that's been born and nurtured and developed by entrepreneurs. So it's an interesting question. It's an interesting component within our country, but I'm not sure the best direction for that. But something has to be, you know, there has to be opportunities for us for Bahamians to actually realize this ownership that government is talking about. There has to be some type of system in place for that. Mm-hmm. We discussed in the past things like equity. We had equity in the Cannabis Commission that was a component of it. But I think this administration has kind of trumped that equity by just going straight 100% ownership. So. I don't know. That's a very multifaceted question right there as to how that'll be accomplished.
I want to ask you this now. I want to talk to you more specifically on. We talked about this. You and I, at the onset, at the inception of this, I said, it's going to be difficult for the Bible thumping Christians to be able to accept this concept and idea of gung ho. Remember, we talked even about the usage of the word marijuana and how mm-hmm. we could be able to capture the attention and imaginations of persons by being able to say cannabis. And we mm-hmm. spoke more specifically about the fact that you cannot have a conversation about recreational cannabis, not just yet. This is not for recreational purposes. That we could start off with the purposes of medicinal, right? Now, when we start off with medicinal and we saw that the Rastafari community was able to continue to agitate their point, now the government is talking about being able to ingest this and have this for religious use also. So, so that's a win and that's a win. But now we see that the former prime minister, in his particular capacity as a medical doctor, talk to me. As a medical doctor, a person who had all this on his table and had an opportunity to be able to do this during his time in office, who didn't do it, he's in the papers today being able to talk about legalize this for recreational use, legalize cannabis for recreational use. from your from all of the you know, your outreach, the society, you did these polls, you did all these particular things, from the information that you've gathered from a social standpoint, what is your position for recreational use at this point in our society?
That's pretty easy. Currently, is cannabis regulated at all in our country?
Not one piece. Not one. No.
Okay, so that's easy, right? I mean, it's not regulated right now. So that means it's a free-for-all, right? Anyone can access it.
There's
no limitations, nothing. It's just there. So there's no regulation. So if for those members of society that claim that it's dangerous, they should want regulation. You know, they should want it to be regulated and controlled, limit access. They should want those things. So that's a pretty straightforward question, you know.
So beyond the regulations, because this is agitation for legalization, and this is agitation to ensure that the regulations are confined and put the guardrails up to ensure that this is for medicinal purposes only, right? So whatever mechanisms that the government is putting up, it is for the ingestion of medicinal purposes only and for religious use only. Now, there is a fear that if we now incorporate this recreational usage, that people will be outside, like the minister said, smoking a joint out in the middle of the street, so forth and so on. Is that a palpable fear? Is that a real fear from a social standpoint? Have you seen this in the United States of America after you've gotten to this particular point, that people who would have not necessarily gotten into it as a result of this legalization, everybody now in the streets trying to be able to do that? Talk to me about that.
Oh, no, I mean, no, you don't see that. That's not what happened. If people who weren't interested in cannabis before legalization didn't make them interested. You know, it's regulated now. I mean, we're able to, you know, the whole purpose of the regulation is to control access, make sure that young kids aren't getting it, making sure the punishments in place for people that are serving those products to the kids and stuff. But, you know, it's regulated, just like how anything that's a controlled substance should be regulated on a certain level. But there is regulation. It's not free access. Right now, anybody can find cannabis in our country and abuse it or what have you. Any minor, any young kid can find it. And there isn't any real repercussions for any of those things. So we do need to regulate cannabis and ensure and limit access to it.
I like this. So give me your position. You believe that beyond regulation, beyond social stipulation or legal stipulations to indicate that these are rails, the agitation for recreational beyond medicinal, beyond these things, you believe that this could also work under this compendium of bills? This can, the recreational use can also work?
I mean, if we're trying to realize the full economic benefits of this industry, yeah, that recreation and, I mean, whether we want to regulate it or formally say that we have recreational cannabis use, it's in our country already. We have recreational cannabis use already in our country. It's been that for my whole life.
Yeah.
We've had recreational cannabis use. So, I mean, it's just whether or not the government wants to regulate it, you know, but it exists already. This was here before me and you were even born.
Mm-hmm.
We've had recreational cannabis use in our country.
Wow.
So it's something that exists. It's just a matter of regulation or not.
Elliot, I want to thank you for calling me, man. I'd like you to join me tonight and give you a call right after the show to see if you can be able to do that. Are you available?
I am.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Elliot Marshall Helbert. Elliot, I really do appreciate this kind of a conversation. A lot of persons are hitting here. Let me see if I can read this one text before we get out of here. It says, cannabis regulated, it is prohibited. Okay. So now though, you know,
but that's a good point. It is prohibited, regulated, but has that impacted access?
Well, I think
it's
a lot of persons can access it.
Mm-hmm.
They can access it. Yeah. No matter where you go, you could find a way to be able to access this. You know someone who knows someone who can get these particular things. No matter your age, no matter your position, people don't care about those things. And I believe that regulation and being able to identify these things could put us in a better position so that we could understand. If the government is taking on this kind of a strong position, there are a great deal of people that are still pushing back. It says that, hey, listen, this is going to be able to shift the integrity of who we are as a people, the fabric of who we are as a people. I don't know whether or not they're even considering that the fact that these things already exist in our country. I think this person wants with you. Let me see if I can take this quick telephone call before you get out of here. I'll get home in a second. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, what's popping, Howard?
Everything good. What's up, 52?
Yeah, man. I guess that's because in the studio, right? I appreciate you accepting the call, and so I was listening, and I know the voice sounded kind of unusual. So I really wanted to get this in because Sparky and you highlighted the fact of the lack of inclusiveness, right? Civility,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I am upset because maybe it was with the education of the public and the stigmatization of the cannabis plant, right? And it relates to what Ali was saying. So what I'm saying is, if we educate people on the endocannabinoid system and show that the body produces a similar, like, chemical, right? That's predominantly...
You can, yes, the, you know, like, you're getting too deep.
The immune system.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, the fact that it's found in the immune system shows its susceptibility, and they could go and look at the research themselves. But what I wanted to touch on as it relates to monopoly and maybe the Rasta community, where they could be empowered instead of just the government saying, here, go your own weed and smoke yourself to death, right? Let's try and make some money. Just to show that they don't really want the inclusivity. Now, here's where it's at. I'm not hearing anything about the seed industry. You see what I'm saying? And so we know that the hemp seed and the hemp milk is a complete protein because it contains the 9 amino acids. That's done a business right there. If you have the venture startup, right? And also the guy from Deep Science Venture University know that I have a deviant mind, so some studies would need to be had. But we're seeing more talk than data. And so what I'm saying is we must venture down these paradigms. And so the seed industry, Elliot, also entails people growing seedlings and being able to sell into the market. And we saw the problem in one state had a problem with the supply before a big celebration or something, right? And so the government actually facilitated a paradigm in which people were allowed to traffic into that state. And so they break their own law to facilitate the enhancement of a financial gain for another state. So this is how they work. Whilst we here in the third world fighting on one another, what I'm saying is there's much to be had. We know about the industrial side of it, right? But what I'm saying is, what about hemp milk? What about selling the hemp seeds? We know that the auto-flowering seeds cannot be germinated. There's a reason for that, Elliot. I'd like you to expand on that, too. That is a part of manipulating the market, too, in order to control their pattern. Right. Or didn't pattern this, and then the public must be aware whether you're going hydroponically or organically. Or, you know, we call it bio versus hydro, because I'll send Howard a clip. I have a 1996 High Times magazine, so give thanks.
Thank you, man, 52. I do appreciate it. Are you want to respond to that before I go to break?
I mean, 52 hit a lot of points. I mean, even the endocannabinoid system, that's a two-day conversation right there. I mean, with all the defiance that we see against this plant, why do we have a system within a design to interact with this plant, with the compounds that come from this plant? So it's, it's multiple parts of, with 52 always dropping heavy stuff, but it's multiple parts of what he said. That's totally true and heavy. And I agree. I agree with him on a lot of that.
All right. Well, I want to have further conversations with you, my brother. I do appreciate you being able to reach out and having good conversations, always being able to contribute on this industry with your expertise. So I want to thank you so much for your telephone call.
Indeed.
Thank you, my brother. Take care. I'll be able to do that. Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you a call. Guys, we're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
It's getting hot in Marco's, and we're bringing the heat straight to your doorstep. We're giving you a fiery food experience like never before. For a limited time only, try our new sizzling fiery flavors featuring Reaper cheese on our fiery bullies, pizza, cheesy bread, and pizza bowls. Can you handle it? Taste the heat and order one now at MarcosPizzaBahamas.com.
Looking for great device deals and offers this summer? Look no further! Alive has special discounts on the latest smartphones, Ring devices, and accessories. Plus, as an Alive customer, you can expect exclusive Get Extra offers and rewards, which means even more value for your money. We're talking more data, prizes, and surprises. Upgrade with us and experience the perfect summer with Alive in store or at bealive.com/deals.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckett Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Mbaka. And he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio, 96 Fresh News, Smart Talk, all day.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market. Triple packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, just being able to talk about what's happening in the news today, taking on this kind of a position to talk about medicinal cannabis and being able to see cannabis use for its rejection of the recreational use and allowing it to be opened up for religious use. There's a couple of texts that came through. I want to read a few of them so we can be able to what's the thinking out there. One says, Howard, it would be discriminatory to allow a certain group to use cannabis for religious reasons and not allow others to use it for recreation. It would be discriminatory, right? Discriminate for the purposes of religion. Is this going to be sort of an open door policy for... oh, God. I never caught around to say I was a Christian, to believe in Jesus Christ. I didn't have to carry that around. I never had to give a representation to say that I'm a Christian. No one required me to wear sort of Moses sandals and a turban to walk around and be, you know, there's no expectation. Beyond that, by the fruits, you should know them. As a result of the government opening the door for the purposes of religious use, is there going to be sort of a mass entrance into the Rastafari community where persons could say, no, I's a Rasta. I's a Rasta. That's why I smoke in this. You leave too much things unturned. You've left too many doors open for social speculation, for interpretation. You've left too many things undone. There's a next text here. It says, hey, bro, what's up? A casual observation of other countries would show that medical marijuana is a waste of time. Marijuana legalized and regulated because calling it medical will only make acquisition more expensive. Consider this, for example. When medical marijuana became a thing in the United States of America, all persons had to do was get a med card and go to the doctor with some good story, like a problem sleeping or even stress from home. Just like that, they legal. So why are we wasting time when full legalization is inevitable. All this is just a bunch of wasting our time. All this is a holding pattern for strategic persons to find their way nestled at the table on a significant percentage and becoming filter for everything to run through them. Can't you see y'all didn't want to talk like this? Y'all didn't want to talk like this? It's like you ain't seen this before. Why y'all just pretend? It is like you ain't seen this before? We saw this before. We know this game. You don't know nothing about this, but you got to keep holding on until you find your significant relationships locally, relationships internationally. You find your suppliers, you find your this, you find your that, you find your distributors, you find all these things at a good rate, and then you find yourself in the position that you advocate as a lobbyist to tell the government it's time to be able to get these things done. We've seen this thing before. Why don't we just pretend like we don't see this? It's ain't got nothing to do with nothing. We start off small. Because this is a niche market of persons right now. Niche of people who are going to be able to deal this from a medicinal standpoint. It's a small portion of people. But when we find ourselves eventually moving towards a position of recreational use, then people opening up their islands. They're opening up their this. They open up their that. They're having their parties. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're coming here. They're seeing the five-finger plants advertising all over the place. This particular hotel is going to be able to expand an opportunity because now we have this night and that. Come on, man. We've seen this before. But because from a legislative standpoint, we have to understand and at least beta test it. So y'all don't want me to talk like this. Y'all hate when I do this. All this is beta testing in preparational use that the 9.6 million people that come here now, my God, that's where the money is. The money ain't in 400,000 people, or let's be decent, 150,000 people. The money ain't in there. The money has nothing to do with that. There is no significant money. You can make a little living. But this ain't no money. The money exists in 9.6 million people. How do we fix that? Let's talk. Quick telephone call before we get out of here. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard.
Good afternoon.
Did you listen to that thing I sent Ben to do on YouTube?
Yeah, I checked it out.
Way back archives.
Yeah.
How was that to you? Was it a serious indictment?
Yeah.
On
it was serious. It was serious.
It was. Why did you play it on the air sometime? And Finland wave a bit at smoking marijuana. He said, the boys get up in the morning, I turn their name out. And now, they don't want to work. Like, I've been to all of my old fridge. They had to bring in Spanish guys to do the AC work.
Wow.
20 guys, and the manager said they work from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. No break. No marijuana break. They work 1 hour lunch. Why did they import 20 technicians to do the AC work in 2024? That's getting high. And their brains are blown out. Have you ever seen a person smoking with dope? Their fingers are black. Eyes are red. Lips black. That's how your brains look. Early age. Your brains are gone. I don't know what we're going to do with this. Do you see China, Russia, Cuba? No smoking dope. They lost you in jail for smoking marijuana. Why? Because they see the danger of that. That's the most psychotropic drug on earth for your pain because it puts you in another world. The pain's still there, you know.
The difficulty when you those nations that you call in comparison to a nation that lifts up democracy, that's where you're going to find
it. In 1983, he asked America to help him because his young man smoked a joint all day, from the day they get up.
But America couldn't help you because based upon allegations and the stories that we've heard, the CIA was distributing these drugs for a long time.
I'm saying he told the world that they're going to the States. States got it. They want to go to the States of the drug, you know, that's the drug capital. Of course, right? You ever heard of Sheriff Ken Jennings?
No. And don't call anybody
name. Sheriff. He's a good, he's locking up all the black boys, dope. But he had a private company. So the feds didn't check on him, put a bug in the office on his phone. He was trying to hide the tax money from his off-duty security company, $200,000. They indict him. They do a knock warrant on him. They kick down his door in the morning, drag him out of his house. in the morning, and then arrested him. And guess what now? He head of the jail, Florida Airport, all of the, he has 3,000 deputy sheriffs under him. But by him breaking the law, the Fed used him as an example. That do not break the law. He was a sheriff, elected. As simple as him trying to avoid taxes, caused him to lose his law license, his pension, and he went to jail.
Wow.
Let's consider like the man who's head of the fish fry, who beat the boy so bad, and the boy had a smartwatch and tape him. Do you know they allowed a police officer to retire?
I don't know, and I ain't getting in nobody's business. I want to be decent. I just won't be able to talk about these things. I feel like if we're not going to be able to say, okay, so what I did this morning is be able to talk about sort of the perceived nefarious activity that exists within the Royal Bahamas Police Force or Customs or any of these particular things. But I know of instances where persons can be able to be identified and pull out of that and identify amidst the muck and mire and say that this person goes above and beyond. If we ain't doing that, we ain't doing nothing. Talk to me. Talk to me. Because you get sued in these kind of a platform. Let's be decent. We'll be doing these things, right? Let's take the next telephone call. Caller on the line, go ahead. Caller on the line, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Next call. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Yes, Howard, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Seattle?
Yeah. Just let me first, I know your cousin was on the phone just now, and the caller called thing. Just let me first say that we'd be having this whole concept of what do you call it, regulated versus controlled use.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what was passed, even though we use the word regulated, this is a controlled use environment that is brought about, which we already had in place. Municipal marijuana was always under the control. You read it. In fact, Mr. May Monroe spoke at one of those functions that your cousin sat on the panel, where he explained to them that they were trying to pass a law where this was already in use, that the minister could give consent and pharmacists could do whatever it is. So in essence, what we're simply doing now is basically just adding another layer to allow the production of the actual medicine, if you want to use it, that part of it in the Bahamas, into use the other aspects of regulation or even further control. This is weak at best. It's more like linguistic masturbation in regards to looking at this from the cannabis industry potential, from a local as well from a global perspective. We already see the global legalization trend, and it should be our responsibility or should be our ambition to get ahead of these trends, following countries like Canada, Uruguay, parts of the U.S., and other things. You know, just looking at it in its fullest content. Just look at what the Prime Minister said. He said this will create thousands of jobs. You know, if I was in a field standing behind a bull and see a pile in the back, I'd call it for what it is. So I would ask the government to release the study to support these thousands of jobs that will be created from this particular legislation. When you talk into agrotech, and we often like to talk about farming, and do you know I now have AI with my toilet paper?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, AI everything, man. Because that's what people do. They say these things. It sounds good. But really, what could AI do? AI is a tool for enhancement and augmentation. Am I to say now that my toilet paper is augmented by AI? Again.
Well, I hear that the AirPods might have some level of AI and some way of being able to read some cerebral something. I don't know. I listened to the story yesterday.
See, what happens is these things sounds good, right? And what disturbs me is we talk about these technology and trends we've been talking for years, and we have yet to achieve the low-hanging fruit, such as fintech with the Dare Bill that gives behemoths access to the... You know, it's so much, but we love to use words like technology, world class, innovation, revolution, all these different things. But in the context of where they are, they don't. But going back to this particular cannabis industry, it shows where the cowardness of our leaders to somewhere talk around, where all the while they keep talking for people, almost implying as if though this will be for casual use, but at the same time, just misleading a whole bunch of individuals who may not understand the linguistic contortionism that's coming from them. And then to understand, so people now have this concept that you can now get caught with marijuana. I asked you, Howard, how do you get fined for marijuana? For something that's technically illegal, but you get a fine for it. So how do you get it to be able to get that fine? Hmm. Where do they expect you to get it from?
Boy, I have... So one of the issues that we have, it's almost like being able to know that there is a source of corruption, but the recipient of the funds from corruption, he go into jail, but we never go look for the source. Let's go look for the source.
But it proved what Elliot said. It proves that they recognize that this is already in existence, but they did not have the testicular fortitude or the ovarian audacity to have a conversation exactly what it is. And so in the same way they give us this garbage, when they say opinion poll or whatever, they never brought that regulation in its proper context the way it was should have been, because the Constitution gives you the ability to bring that polling, that referendum out, that people could actually call for referendum, but it comes from the people rather than Parliament. So they kept that as a security in the House of Parliament, rather than making laws to simply set a benchmark. Well, Howard, if you get 15,000 signatures, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000 signatures, it could go on a referendum. They said, no, we will decide if you have a referendum and what these are.
Well,
and so I'm simply saying that we are moving 50+1. And I think the problem is that we have leadership that is cemented in the past and denies of the future. This is where we need leadership that is bold, that understands the 21st century.
You know what?
That understands not just localized, but the globalization aspect of where we are.
I'd like to talk with Michael Pintard about these sort of progressive concepts and what his path would be to be able to hear about that. Because I know where you're going with this. But
I'm saying Michael Pintard is the leadership of the incoming government. But the people, others, a part of those can be contributory pool that goes into it, because it isn't Michael Pintard, the exclusivity. And I know how people like to isolate what Michael says. Michael will represent collective intelligence and opinion and desires of the Bahamian people. And that's the part where we have to accept that there's a new type of leadership that's going to be presented to us, not one where
we
have this kingship.
I look forward to that. I think it's time for that. I got to let you go. I thank you so much for your telephone call, my brother. I got a couple more telephone calls. I got to get out of here before we get out of here. Let me get the next telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, Howard. I feel so much more intelligent after listening to your last caller. You know, the reality is we have a bunch of people that are almost retirement age looking to come back and lead us with the old school way of leading and their fax machine. But the young people like you, and it's sad, aren't moving forward. Let me explain. We'll have thousands of consumers. I don't think we're going to have thousands of people growing in the baller lifestyle from.
So the Prime Minister spoke wrong. He said that.
Well, I don't want to say he spoke wrong.
We have opened the door to create the creation of thousands of jobs.
Well, I guess you could consider it a job if you got to go buy that
marijuana. You know, one thing but does.
Well, anyway, let's move on. My question is, I am 100%, 99% for hemp, marijuana, whatever you want to call it. You can make clothing. You can grow paper quicker than a tree can grow, and you can cut it down. Marijuana is a weed. It grows really quick. And so we can use every aspect, CBD oil, got a whole list of it for medicine, etc. I have 1% problem with marijuana. It's putting smoke in your lung. There's no one can call your show today and say there's a study that putting any kind of smoke or water in your lung is beneficial. So if we remove the smoking conversation, what happens? Nobody wants to talk about it anymore, not with the same vigor. And my question is, it's been a distraction for the 20 years I've been on radio listening and talking, that we throw this out at certain times maybe when gas is $6 a gallon, maybe when you can't afford food. So we will be
is a social red herring. This is what you said.
Look at the U.S. We were talking about moving Biden because he didn't know what day it was. All of a sudden, we have this shooting. Bam, we forget about it. So we put things out there. Spousal rape, same-sex marriage, marijuana. We got the usual things, and they come each year, I say, to distract us. We'll be good little consumers while the elite slice up the pie and give us the crumbs off of the pie. We need to have a real discussion on marijuana. And where's the same vigor about education? Never heard it.
No.
We should have this same excitement about getting our people to a B or an A grade point average. How come we don't have that? We just want to create zombies. Is that what it is? We got liquor out there now. It's doing a great job.
Yeah.
We want to put marijuana there too.
To accompany
it. 99% of that marijuana and 1% no smoke, this goes away. Because platinum-based chemotherapy is thousands of dollars when you have to get that treatment. And when we're talking about national health insurance, Howard, you'll be asked to pay a little bit more of your paycheck for the NHI. What will it be? 5% more, 10% of your paycheck?
Wow.
To cover the people with lung cancer?
Wow.
Now, I have a document.
But you don't have to take cannabis like that. You know that.
No, you don't. That's why I said remove that 1% smoking issue.
Yeah.
And say you can take the oil, you can take injections, drop it in your eye, whatever. But move smoking and the vigor and the discussion goes away. No one wants to talk about that clothing I'm wearing that's made out of hemp. No one wants the document I'm told I have that's written on hemp paper with hemp ink and stitched together with hemp twine. No one wants to talk about that.
No.
This all comes to smoking. And if we're talking smoking, you listening will be a user, consumer, just like with liquor. You can get that beer. You can get that Hennessy.
This is what I got to say to you. This is what I got to say to you.
Don't you try grow it. Don't you try make liquor. We can make liquor from our grapes right here in the Bahamas. We do it. But you try sell it. I could come buy three beers right now for $5, put them on some ice, go in the road and try sell them for $10, jail. But I could drink them on the road. See, they're going to make consumers and they're distracting you.
This heavy what you're saying.
They're distracting you with the issue of you're going to benefit.
Wow.
You're going to have the growing job.
Thank you, man.
Rich.
Graham, I got to get out of here. Thank you so much for your telephone call. I do appreciate you. One thing about doors, you know, when you open that up with the expectation that one thing, the little gnats, the little mosquitoes, the little things like that, those things come in also, right? So we got to be able to take those things into consideration. I like your telephone calls, guys. I thank you for your participation. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here. We're going to see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation. Have a beautiful day, guys. Godspeed. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.